Om Shanti. Good evening. I think we were meant to have yoga from 5:45 to 5:45, but it seems the microphone is in front of me, so I should speak. But let's just have 2 more minutes whilst people just come into the room. Om Shanti again. What were you feeling in that silence? What does silence do? What does it do for you? When I first came and just sat down and for the yoga, I felt that silence is the energy that creates transformation. And so I was pushing it away. And so each one of us has to learn to go deep and experience that power of silence, where there is only pure thought and where there is only pure feeling, and it's rich and it's beautiful and it's powerful. And that's the language of Baba. And so when I can go to that place of silence, then in a very natural way, my sanskars, the ones I call my old sanskars, release themselves easily. And so what's the process? My name's Kalvinder. I should do that first. I'm living in Australia since 2001, but obviously from the accent you can tell I'm from the UK, or maybe not. And what I'm going to talk about today, and maybe at some point in time you might want to ask further questions and we might want to workshop it later, is about the steps to into silence. And I first came across these steps actually in a book by Anthony Strano called Eastern Thought for the Western Mind, quite old now. And I love them really, because I sort of understood the process, and it's actually basically how to meditate. And I feel that, and so from then on, for many years, it was a silence retreat for newcomers to meditation. And not only that, it was sort of a very easy way to introduce meditation at my workplace, for instance, and in the city, because the steps are so simple. It would be lovely if we could all go to soul consciousness, you know, in a second, and, you know, be absorbed in Baba in a second. That doesn't always happen. So to understand the process and how to move through the stages of yoga, and how I can actually let go and absorb that pure energy that creates transformation, I feel these steps have really helped me understand that. And so that's what I'm going to do today, to share these steps with you, and perhaps end with a bit of meditation. And as I said, I'm going to reduce the whole weekend into half an hour. And so if you have questions and if you want to experiment later on, that's fine too. So the first step is, I love each one of those steps, each one of these steps, because they bring depth. And the first step is called officially listening. And it's basically a step where I step back and I create space. I create space from everything that I've done or going to do is going on, and my sanskars, everything. I just, for a minute, create space. And it doesn't matter which language you use, whether it's you detach or observe or become the silent witness or become the silent observer or just accept or become present or become or to listen or become aware. It doesn't matter which language you use, but what's happening is that you're creating space, letting go. How many words? Use the word that makes you feel comfortable, but detaching. Unless I learn to create space and learn to detach or observe or accept things just as they are, I cannot explore anything else. It's like the child who has a beautiful toy and you're trying to tempt the child with another beautiful toy that is much better, but it really loves this one and it likes that one but can't let go of this one. So got to let go to explore something fully and beautiful. So the first step is to listen, to create space. Another word for this that you might say or comes to mind is the word mindfulness. So if anyone who's studied mindfulness, what's that about? It's about observing and just purely observing whatever is good or whatever is bad. It's observing, and this is the first step. I don't feel that we can go directly into soul consciousness without having created that space, because the pull to the old will always be there. You know, why do we sit in meditation before Merli? Why is it important to sit in yoga before Merli? It's because we create space, become present for something new to be absorbed into the intellect. So this first, never to underestimate the importance, which is the first three steps are the most important. The others just are natural. So the other day, Baba was talking about the New Year's Eve meeting on December the 31st that I have to surrender my weaknesses. You know, how do I do that? I'm so intricately linked with my sanskars that I've had for such a long time. I have to observe them. And the beauty of observing them and just watching them and with detachment or with even acceptance, whatever word you like, is that I neither love them or I hate them. They just are as they are. And unless I can learn to be sort of such a observer of them, I'm actually not going to be able to let it go. Because I can fall into the familiarity of an old sanskar that has served me so well. It's not great, but hey, it works sometimes and it's so familiar, but really, it actually doesn't serve me. Or I can actually really have so much dislike for something that even though I want to get rid of it, I just hate it so much. It still pulls me. Gentlemen, you're still engaged with it. Either like something too much or I hate something too much. Both of those polar opposites are tying me to something. But the detached observer is always calm and the love is clean and cool and observes everything in a silent way, in a calm way, with space. It's the observer. And unless I can create space, I'm not going to be able to let go. So sometimes it's difficult to observe a sanskar, but, you know, if things come up, for me, I love the word acceptance. And in 1 second, you know, just to use the word acceptance, sort of just for now, just for a second, it's like, okay, I accept everything just as it is. What does it do? For me, I feel it just really cools the senses because I'm no longer engaged. My mind is not thinking, oh, there's people coming in, people walking out, too cold, too hot, this microphone's in front of me. Just, you accept everything just as it is. This is the first step of listening. Experiment with it. I feel that all the senses become cool. There is not that pull or that push, not the excitement. acceptance. Another word for the first step, and I'll reduce them to four steps, is just step back. So in the positive thinking course, that's the first step that we tell people, isn't it? Just step back. Energetically, I'm dissociating. I understand things from a sort of a science point of view, so energetically I'm dissociating. So what I've been connected with is no longer draining me, and I actually have to do that. After the first step, I actually do have to go further. I do have to go into the second steps and the third steps. Because unless I go further, which is going to take me deeper to attainment, to fruit, I'm going to connect with everything that I've already connected with. So the practice of just being present and being aware is fine, but it's not enough if I want to change. Okay, second step. The second step is a word called reflection. And another way I think about this is actually once you step back, I need to step in. I need to look and ask and contemplate and really get into the depths of who am I really. If I don't step back, if I don't go through the space, the process of listening and becoming present, I'm going to interpret myself through the same windows that I've always interpreted myself. I'm going to look at myself through the same windows that I've always looked at myself with. I'm going to interpret myself with the same sanskars that I've always interpreted myself with. And so I have to do that first step in order to be able to look inside. So the second step is of reflection, asking the question, who am I really? You might say, well, that's easy. Baba tells us this every day, who I am, the whole time. First lesson, you know, second lesson, maybe, you know, the qualities of the soul. But I have to do that inner work myself. I have to go from knowledge to realization, and that has to be my inner work. This comes from reflection. If I don't do that inner work, I will never develop a sense of self-respect, because self-respect isn't something that someone else can give to me. And when I can go into, and I'll explain perhaps what we can use to reflect, only then can I catch what Baba is saying about me. Not only can I catch it, can I accept it, and then I can go into the experience. Otherwise, I don't feel it's possible unless I have amazing yoga experience to go from just being ordinary to being the angel in one step. There are steps. Those steps might take a second, for sure. But there are steps. And so, for me, it's not enough for Baba to say to me, you know, you are this. I have to feel it myself. And so what allows me to reflect, to then be able to go into the muralis and hear the Abhyat muralis in particular with such a state of self-respect that I feel that Baba is saying to me, you are this, and I can trust the one who is speaking to me. What are the steps? So in my experience, I feel that absolutely everything that I look at or I react to or don't react to tells me about me. Whether it's good or it's bad, it tells me about me. And so I don't have to, you know, sit a particular time or, you know, morning. It's like my everyday experience tells me about me. So for instance, you know, who do we love? Who do you love? and let's say, and what do you love? Let's say that, okay, Dad equals R, let's say, you know, love that soul, you know, love how she's so humble and so simple, and how she's such an instrument that you look at her and you don't see her, but you see the one who's made her so beautiful, let's say. Just an example. But what I'm seeing is me. What I'm seeing is what I hold so precious and so close that I value it in others. And so therefore not to, you know, put it as an external thing, but use that vision of looking outward to be a deep mirror for looking inwards. So the kind of reflection I'm looking for is past all the layers and just looking at that point. What are the qualities of that beautiful point? And in the same way, so often on a retreat, the questions I often ask is, you know, what's your favourite piece, person, and why? And, you know, what's your favourite movie and why? Which piece or your phrase, which phrase do you love and why? And, you know, what would you live for? And, you know, what would... You know, what has made you react and you've really stood up for it? So these are all sort of self-management sort of questions, but actually just revealing me to me. And on the other hand, what makes me react too? You know, I was interviewing, Jenty Penn has just been to Australia and I had to interview her on healthy relationships. And basically we just asked the BKs to put in their questions. And when I got the questions, I said I would actually read each one just to honour everyone who'd put a question, whatever the questions were. And one of the questions was, why does this person always control me? This person is so controlling and I just feel controlled by this person. How can they change? And Jenty Ben said, what is it about you that allows yourself to be controlled? You know? So, what do I value so much that I'm actually giving up to someone else? Another example. If someone makes me angry or irritated, for instance, you know, normally perhaps we would react and not like that samskara and feel really bad about it. Alternatively, and I don't know if Morni spoke about this in nonviolent communication, it's like, what value am I protecting so deeply that would make me react in this way? A very compassionate way to observe the way that I react. Yes, this person is the trigger. What is it revealing about me? And it might be that, for instance, that I value harmony so much. I value equanimity so much. You know, I value that everyone's honour is upheld, let's say. And this is why I react. And so not to look at the one who is making me react, but actually coming to a deep place of self-respect. Okay, this is why I react. And this is what I really hold deeply, and this is my truth. And what happens through that check, through that introspection, is that I actually come to a place of empowerment in a very gentle way, and then things can change because I change. And so absolutely everything in my life, whether good or bad, and I'm not saying anything is good or bad, I'm just choosing whether I choose to resonate with it or not. But what I am doing is using those indicators, they are indicators, for me to go deep, to reveal me to me. And it's always good. If I'm looking in the right place. And when I can learn to do that deep introspection, even doesn't have to be deep, it's just a step in. and then you will take you to yourself because you are beautiful. Then I can catch what Baba means. Then I can, let's say I value purity so much, go into the depths of purity, understand what it means, how it feels like, and then I can envisage, okay, the angel, pure. What kind of purity do the deities have? You know, then you can, that's the bridge. So for me to come back to myself, understand who I am, and then I'll be able to accept what Baba says about me. Deeply. So, first step is step back to listen, to accept, come into the present, be mindful, be aware, be here, silent observer, detached observer, silent witness, whatever really. Second step, step in to reflect, who am I really? And every single thing, every trigger in my life reveals me to me. To create space to look at something new. I actually quite like the word listen. I like the way Anthony chose that word because, I mean, there are courses on the art of listening, aren't there? And normally, you know, one definition that I like of listening, it gives space for someone to emerge. And so, can I give space for myself to emerge? Can I do that? What is a good listener? We all know what a good listener is. There are people that we go to who know, who we know that will hold the space for us, and they're not actually listening to what you're saying, but they have such a good vision and pure vision of you that you know you can dump yourself and they will then just move on and actually not hold it in their vision. So the art of listening is the first step, and what a beautiful art. And now, can I do that to myself? Can I create space for myself to emerge? So, as I said, I'm trying to condense everything into half an hour. So reflection, and so the third step. The third step is very closely connected to the fourth step, and one strengthens the other. But having stepped back and reflected, this third step is concentration. So concentration is to hold a thought in a natural way or a feeling. And when it's natural, you'll be able to hold it for a very, very long time. If steps one and two are done correctly, concentration on a feeling of peace or love will be held naturally. And when I concentrate on something in particular, a feeling or a quality or a virtue or a power, having done steps one and two, it actually gives it power because I'm paying it attention. And so in a sense, I'm giving life to something because I'm watering it with intention, attention. And when you focus on something, it grows. And so having step back and stepped really away from my old windows, the eyes that I always look at everything with, and having gone deep and churned and come to a realization of who I am, I can then hold on to something, and that's when the power starts to come. Paying attention to something. Very closely connected to that is the fourth step, which is called connection. And I almost sort of think about them very closely together. Because to be able to concentrate on something, I have to be able to connect to the feeling of the particular power or virtue. I remember when I first came to Australia, people used to say, well, I'm just going to connect with this one and connect with this one. It's not language that we used in the UK. But the word connect, what does that mean? It actually means to get onto the same wavelength, doesn't it? And so to connect to something, for me, it means to move into the feeling of something. And we know there are people that we connect with, and sometimes there's a disconnect. But when I connect with someone or something, it's like I'm on the same wavelength, and there's an exchange, there's a flow. And so when I connect, so peace is just not a concept. I concentrate on peace. It's not just something out there. But to strengthen my concentration and awareness of it, if I move into the feeling of it, my concentration is strengthened. When my concentration is strengthened, my connection is strengthened. When my connection is strengthened, concentration. So I see these, I don't know which one comes first. I feel concentration comes first. I've heard it spoken the other way around, but you can sort of see how these are rotating. One feeds back into the other, feeds back into the other. These are happening both at the same time. And there's a flow. Once I've connected to that feeling or quality or power or virtue, you know, that place of self-respect. What do I connect to next? Who do I connect to next? It's from that place that I can actually connect to Baba in an accurate way. Because again, vibration need to be on the same wavelength. It means to connect so the energy can flow. And so I have to, if I don't do that homework of steps 1, 2, and 3, and as I said, splitting up into steps, but it can happen in a second. If I don't do that work, then there's a feeling that I perhaps am not worthy to receive Father's love, or I see stuff in myself that doesn't actually allow me to resonate on the same level, so I'm actually not connecting. If I don't connect, energy doesn't flow. And true, it's like we're not going to be equal to Baba in 1 second. It's true. And so even that's a process. But the first step has to be that consider myself to be a soul and then remember Baba. You know, this is what Baba's saying, I feel. It's not to remember Baba and then everything else comes. It's like, who am I? And then I can connect properly. So Baba's taking us from being a devotee, and I was a very good devotee, to being masters. So we become masters and we learn to absorb power, accept power, see ourselves as Baba sees us. The meaning of self-respect is to see the self and look again. And so, with whose eyes am I going to look at myself with? Surely the eyes of truth. So to learn to see myself as Baba sees me and to accept that deeply as part of my experience comes from steps 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I quite like seeing those steps of stepping back, stepping in, and the one of connection is stepping up to the one. But connecting is such an important word, because that's the scientific bit coming in. You know, these heaters wouldn't work if they weren't connecting at the same power as the source. That's why energy flows. And then the fifth step, the fifth, sixth and seventh are quite easy, and you could probably tell me them. But the fifth, I mean, they're only worthy of one line in Anthony Strano's book. There are just a few paragraphs, but equally beautiful. So when energy flows from Baba to you, the sixth, the fifth step is of absorption. I absorb Baba's energy. What does it take to absorb? You know, it takes a clean heart and an open heart and a heart that's unlimited. You know, a feeling that there's only one that I'm going to reveal my heart to. There's only one that I'm going to reveal every dark corner of the soul, because I know that one is going to look at it with love and with gentleness and heal. And so to have the awareness that once I connect, just be open to absorb with such a open and soft heart, one that surrenders all thoughts of past and future. You know, what a beautiful word, what a beautiful relationship. And Baba is subtle and gentle and takes care, and to know that all I have to do, I don't even have to, you know, make an effort. All I have to do is just be open. All I have to do is just open my heart, which, you know, might be closed, but that's all I have to do. And just absorb Baba's love, which is always there. And of course, when there's absorbing, there's what happens when I absorb Baba's energy. I fill up. So absorbing and filling are together, one happens automatically as the other one. So sometimes I just have the feeling that, you know, Baba gives us so much that I'm so full. So even creating the thoughts that I'm filling and filling and filling. And I remember my first sort of experience of soul consciousness. I remember Baba just gave me such an experience that I felt that I had enough love for the whole world. You know, I feel that this is really the power of the soul, that I felt my face was sort of this big and everything really, and just how full can I be when I'm connected to the one who is unlimitedly full. It's not a word, but so don't sort of shortchange yourself in that connection. Allow yourself to become full, because the one who's giving wants to fill. And then the final step. Again, these are all big classes, just reduced to one. The final step is of any meditator. What's the final step? Donation. This is not something we even think about. The final step of all of these steps, the final stage of a meditator is donation. And what's so beautiful about these steps is that having gone through those, it's like you come to an awareness that of knowing how to give, how much to give, and when to give. And because in that awareness, I'm always the instrument, the giving is always there anyway, but it's just knowing how, when, and how much. You know, because sometimes we give and we come into perhaps, you know, too much attachment with souls, because I feel I have to take care of them. I feel I have to do this, you know, and then there's a point in times when I know I've overstepped the mark, because one, they always pull my attention. And two, there's a point in time where I feel I actually can't give anymore. I need time for myself. And then I know that I actually haven't been giving in the right way. And sometimes giving doesn't even have to be there. You don't have to be there for people, but sometimes giving even means to create space. Create space from someone or something. And that's an unusual concept, isn't it? Because normally we just want to get in there and hands in and everything. But really, this is what Baba teaches us through these steps and being the instrument of how much to give and how to give and when to give. And this is separate from the concept of Mansa Seva, which is, you know, clean mind is unlimited, and Baba will always use a clean mind, and that's happening anyway. But practically, you know, how to stop being burnt out, for instance, how to maintain the balance of service and self-service so that I'm ever ready. I don't choose a time to serve, but every moment is service. It comes through this type of surrender that I feel that happens by going through these actually steps, which might be really obvious and natural, but for me it's really helped me understand. And so the final step is donation, but so we have step back, which is listening. And again, the questions I would be asking myself is, what creates a good listener? You know, am I creating space? Unless we do this, we actually will not be able to surrender, actually. And then step two is reflection, and which is stepping in, looking deep now through different eyes and using the triggers of my life. They're all good. Honestly, they're all good. And using them in a compassionate way to reveal me to me. And we are interesting. It's the archaeology of the soul, isn't that the word? So interesting. And then, you know, who would have thought there's just two lessons that Baba gives, or actually three, of the soul, Baba and the cycle could occupy and sustain and enlighten for such a long period of time. But they're so simple, the lessons, but they're so deep. And so that's reflection, stepping in, and it's concentration. Connection is part of stepping in and also stepping up for us anyway. And stepping up, donation, absorbing, filling is part of stepping up. And then the final step, donation, is stepping out. So, sort of reduce 7 steps into 4. Step back, step in, step up and step out. Listening, reflection, concentration, connection, absorption, filling, donation. Go home. So I thought that I would take some questions if there are any, but if not, I would just conduct a meditation exercise to take us through those steps. But let me, are there any questions first? Does that make sense? Yes. I feel that unless steps 1 and 2 are done properly, it's actually going to be hard to concentrate and connect. And so you will find yourself revisiting those steps again. But it doesn't mean that they just sort of have to be done sort of in isolation. But with attention, I would say, rather than time, I would say with attention. But to know that step 1 isn't enough, because and unless I connect to something that sustains me, I will go back to doing what I've always done, because there's no other thing that sustains me. So it's not enough to create space. I actually have to do something with it. So yeah, and you know, it's lovely to be here in the month of January, or every January is always special, but I do feel it's a time to create space, actually. But not only to create space so I can see myself, but actually do something with it. And so those steps to go in and then go up and then go out, yeah. Any other questions? So the process is really simple. When we create another thought to stop that waste thought, it's good, because you're reflecting and using that reflection of who you are to to really sustain you. Yeah. But a second before that happens, I feel that I mustn't hate or love something too much because I'm engaging with it. And so if you're sort of saying, there are so many waste thoughts, what I would say, okay, just accept everything just as it is. And it's like when you accept something, you stop giving it energy. But if you're sort of reacting against it, like, can't believe there's so many waste thoughts or whatever, whatever, it's like, even though I actually want to create space from those thoughts, I'm actually giving it energy. But to, and this is why I sort of quite like the Buddhist first step meditation, which is actually of any meditation, which is just might just to observe it, and you actually stop giving it energy. And then that's when you can bring your thoughts in of yourself that, you know, purity, peace is my original religion, and these are nothing. These are just scenes, and, you know, whatever thoughts you create to really change your consciousness, yeah, that's the reflection sort of coming in. But unless reflection comes from quite a deep place, so it's not affirmations or just words, it's a realization, you know? Because that, the thing about realization, it emerges a memory in the soul, it emerges an experience, and whatever I say to you that you're not this, you know what you are. Do you know what I mean? So the thing about an experience, it's yours, and whatever someone says about me, no one can take it away. And so positive thoughts are good, but to take time to have an understanding, an awareness, and a realization of who I really am is the second step. And from there, positive thoughts come, which are powerful and can actually create the full stop and stop the waste. Is that okay? But in my experience, it's like, you know, I've had situations where I've had quite a lot of difficulty letting go of some things, and really, especially in the early years, just really building my self-respect. And one powerful thing was just, right, let me just accept everything just as it is and take full responsibility. And I felt that was just real honesty. And that honesty in seeing everything just as it is, good or bad, whatever, is like that was the thing that allowed me to let go. Because I stopped engaging with it. I stopped engaging with it and thinking, God, that was really bad. Because it's giving it energy. And when you give something energy, it's like it becomes like this. And actually, I'm becoming like this. And then I'm going here. So, yeah. Naming. And I think that naming is actually an act of observation. You actually see it as an external thing rather than I'm this, this is this. So, yeah. But I also feel that, you know, it's like all the time I'm choosing what I choose to resonate with. I'm always making a choice of which kind of energy I'm resonating with. And I can think about someone, or I can think about the waste and think about this, but that's going to be my life, you know? And it never feels good. And so, fine, except I want to go deeper. Self-respect. So, yeah. Look, you know, this is not easy, but the process for me makes sense, and yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is a simple commentary, but in step one, I bring all my thoughts and my awareness right into the present moment. observing and accepting everything just as it is. Every movement, every thought is playing its role. And I quietly watching. When I disengage, detach, I give myself space, give myself a break. Space to move inside in step two, reflection. Easily and with no effort, I move into my truth. My truth of purity and peace that pulls the soul. Feeling comfortable and seeing my truth, I concentrate in step three. On silence. I connect. Very easily to the deep silence within the soul. When there are feelings of peace and depth and richness and beauty, and then 1 second I open the heart to my Baba. And connect to the silence from His love. I absorb and fill with everything that Baba is giving me, with a heart that is open and absolutely unlimited. Absorbing. And moving on to the world stage. This Baba's instrument. The final step. This donation. heart that allows Baba to come into me and through me. The whole world is served. I am unlimited. The one that I'm connected to is unlimited.